Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
And if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 6. We'll read 6 through 8, and then we'll skip down to 19 through 28. John 1, 6. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. If you skip down to verse 19 through 28. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of the one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now some of the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be in your house, grateful for the word, grateful for the season, grateful for the light, grateful for John the Baptist and what he came to tell us. Lord, I pray that you'll fall fresh on us the next few moments. But I pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that you'll bind Satan from this place. That you'll help us focus on who you are and the word at hand. I pray you'll hide me behind the cross. This time is yours and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're talking about the light. And before we can talk about that, I think we have to discuss a little bit about who John is and what he came to do. It is very clear in this passage that John came as a witness. He came to testify. John was just a messenger, but the testimony he had was a first-hand experience. When you testify about something, it's not something that happened to somebody else. It's not something like, I can't tell your story and you can't tell mine. So when I testify or when I speak, it's something that I've experienced. I can't talk about a trip that you've had to Walmart or a family Christmas that you've had if I'm not there too. But even if we're at the same place, my account of what happened is different than yours. You know, we've all heard that there are three sides to every story. It's his side, her side, and then the truth. Because we all perceive things a little different. So the first thing that we need to realize this morning is that John came with a testimony. One of the commentators writes this, "John's identity is crucial to how he is able to bear witness and to what his character witness means. However, in the end, this passage isn't so much about John as it is about his testimony. Here are seven things we learn about Jesus from John's witness that a first-time hearer would not have known. He tells us these seven things. Jesus is the true light. Jesus is exalted. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus takes away the world's sin. Jesus will baptize people with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Son of God." All these things are massive. You have to know that the passage that Pastor David preached on last Sunday is very similar to this one. If you were here last Sunday, you may think that it was the same one, but it's not quite. One was from Mark's account. That was last week. And this is John's account. So last week you heard a little bit about the silence. There had been 400 years of silence. They had not heard from God. There was not a prophetic word. And then here comes this very strange man that says, I baptize with water, but there is somebody here that is greater than me, who I'm not even worthy to stand and untie his shoes. John's witness lends credibility to Jesus' movement. So the first thing that we have to consider before we really talk about the light is the testimony. What is your testimony? We had a ladies' getaway a few months ago where we talked about our stories, and our stories are all unique. And some of you may say, well, I don't have a testimony. But by being silent and not having a testimony, then you have a testimony. Because the way that we speak and the way that we live and the way that we act and who we are and what we are passionate about is our testimony. So we might get to the point where you say, well, I don't really share my faith with others, or I'm not really comfortable talking, but I want to encourage you today to have something to say, to have something that you're living for. Because I had a pastor that one time said, if I could see your calendar and your pocketbook, and one other thing, that I could tell you what you're passionate about. Because we're passionate about the things that we put money into, and we're passionate about the things that we put time into. So my question this Advent season, as we start talking about this, is what would you be saying? Now, think about John, and he's a little quirky, but we all have our own little quirks. And it's been 400 years of silence, and then here comes this guy who's really just different. And he's not a religious leader. He's not like somebody that you'd find in the temple that was dressed appropriately or spoke the right language. He just comes and says, I need to tell you about a man that's here now. And I can baptize with water, but he's coming and baptizing with the Holy Spirit. John's message, the second thing about this passage is John's message was that Jesus is the light. So all of you probably know somebody that is scared of the dark, or maybe you yourself are afraid of the dark. And Brandon has already shaken his head because I have never been afraid of the dark. I have never been afraid of much of anything. I do not like some rodents, and I don't like, there are some things that I don't like, but I've always been of the mindset that whatever is going to happen in light or dark, that you better have more fight than I have, because I am not giving up. So even last Sunday night, I stopped by the Dollar General, and this man was there, and the cashier wasn't. I was waiting on the cashier to come back out, and he said, where's the scaredy cat? And I looked at him like, are you talking to me? Because, like, I don't know you, and I'm just standing here trying to purchase a few things so I can get home. And he says, I bet you're scared too. And I looked at him, and I said, I'm not. And he didn't really know what to say, and I didn't really know what to say, but, like, I don't know why you think I'd be fearful. I mean, you're just a man here in a store, and it was a really strange occurrence. But when I first started dating Brandon, his dad pastored in Sumter, and the parsonage and the church were on the same property. And one night, we had to go to the church. Well, I don't mind dark places, and if I'm going in, I'm not going to take time to turn on a light, especially if I know exactly where I'm going, exactly what I need to do. So we walk in, and Brandon says, I got to get the lights. I said, for what? He said, well, I got to get the light. And I said, it's just right here. Like, by the time you get the light, we could be out. Like, he doesn't like dark places. And he especially doesn't like dark churches. And even to this day, he's a little more fearful of dark places than me. The thing is, in the dark, things appear to be different than they are in the daylight. There was one particular time that I was afraid of the dark, but it really didn't have to do with the dark as much as it had to do with, we were at a funeral home, and my dad's stepdad had passed away, and I was probably in middle school, and I walked into the room that had, like, caskets in it, and I thought that all those caskets must have people in them, and I was fearful that one time. Now, if I had turned the light on, I'd have realized that was just a showroom to show you the different types of things that you could have for your loved ones. When John the Baptist spoke about the light, he wasn't talking about a physical darkness. We all know what it's like to be in the pitch black when we can't see our hands in front of our face. Those areas where you literally can't see how to take your next step. John came as a witness to the spiritual light. The Advent writer says this: darkness and light is imagery we are familiar with, not just because of our experience with physical darkness, but because of our experiences with emotional and spiritual darknesses too. Loss, grief, depression can feel like a deep darkness that covers everything. Violence, death, and sin creep into our world and often seem to overshadow the light. Advent is a time when we reflect on the coming light, a light who entered into our darkness to illuminate the heaviness, the grief, the pain. In a sense, to chase the monsters away. A light has come to shine hope, light, life, grace, and love into our hearts, our lives, and out into the world. A light we often need to be reminded of. So if you know about physical darkness, then it's really easy to compare it to a spiritual darkness. There are times in our lives that we go through where it feels everything is heavy. It feels like we're in a darkness. Jim Cimbala called it a dark night of the soul, where you don't hear God speak, where you don't feel like your prayers are being answered, where you are overcome with a heaviness that you can't shake. And in those times, we are wondering where God is and if he even knows that we exist anymore. The times in our lives where we're in the spiritual darkness, we feel abandoned and left out, like the morning will never come. Well, the religious leaders in John's day were in this darkness too, because there had not been a voice. And it wasn't for like 4 hours or 4 days or 4 months. Like, those are the types of darknesses that we can identify with. This was 400 years. This was not just, Lord, you know, I've been praying about this for 4 whole minutes. It wasn't like that. It was like 400 years. It was a very long time. They were wondering, when will the Lord speak? What will happen? They had no idea. So here comes John the Baptist to prepare the way for the Word, not just a spoken word from God, an incarnate, living, breathing human who is God himself in flesh, sent not just to speak, but to live among us and to pay a ransom for our sins. The light of this season is our hope. The light has come, and the light is Jesus, the promise of Advent. Even though it's already been fulfilled, it helps us live each day in hope and expectation of the kingdom of God at work in our world. So we know that John came with a testimony, and we know that his testimony was the light, that Jesus is the light. So what does that mean? It's all well and good for someone to stand up here and speak some fancy words or to tell you that this is the word of the Lord and this is what he says and all is well and good and go on about your merry way. But what does it really mean for us to have a testimony and to know that God is the light? That God sent the light through Jesus in the manger to a terrified young girl in the middle of the night. What does it mean? This passage teaches me that I too have a testimony, a unique experience that happened between me and Jesus that I need to tell. It also teaches me that in Jesus we find hope. One thing I've learned in the spiritual darkness is that just like in a physical darkness, things aren't always as they appear. You walk into a dark room and you see a mop head and you think it's a person, or you're not sure, you think you saw something move, or, you know, you walk into dark and you're not sure exactly what you see, and so your mind goes crazy with all these different things. It's the same way in a spiritual darkness if we're not careful. Because in the spiritual darkness, we let our feelings overtake our truth. So, what am I saying? Like, in your darkness where you haven't heard God speak, or where you feel overwhelmed with grief or loss or sin, we get to the point where we feel like no one loves me. Like, you know, you've had a no good, terrible, very bad day or month or year. And you're like, you feel forgotten and that you're not loved. That is a feeling. The truth of the matter is found in the Word, and in John chapter 3, it tells us that for God so loved the world that he sent his Son. That is truth. That is different than the feeling. Another thing you might say is that I am afraid. I'm afraid of what's going to happen. I'm afraid of how this is going to end. I'm afraid to take a next step. I'm afraid to move. I'm afraid to be who I'm supposed to be. I don't even know who that is anymore, maybe. Well, in Joshua, it tells us to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid, to not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Okay, that is truth. So your feeling is that you're afraid, but the truth is that we find in the Word is that the Lord is going to be with us wherever we go. Okay, there are times then that you might say, well, I feel like I can't even make it another moment. But in the letter to the Philippians, we find that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So that is truth. The feeling is I can't make it. The truth is you can do anything if you know the light. Okay? So maybe you feel like you've been left alone for your enemies to devour. And you think that that sounds a little silly. But there are times that you honestly feel like, almost maybe like you've been left out in the middle of nowhere and the Lord is just letting people come and take you apart, piece by piece, bit by bit. Psalm 91 says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. So when you feel like your enemies are going to win, the Lord reminds us, I got you. I'm covering you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to protect you. Hold tight. So then maybe you feel like you'll never recover. Like that whatever you've gone through in this dark time, that you'll never bounce back, you'll never be what you were, life will never be the same. Well, in 2 Corinthians, we find that we're hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. So, okay, life might not be the same on the other side of the darkness because I don't even know what your darkness is. But there are times that I know that we go through that, honestly, life on the other side will never be the same. It doesn't have to always be bad, but it'll just never be like it used to be. But I even had a high school teacher that told us one morning, he said, look around. It was AP Calculus, and he said, I want you to remember this day, because nothing will ever be the same as it is today. No matter if everybody came in the same class again tomorrow and everybody was present that was there the day before, this day is unique in and of itself. And nothing will ever be like this moment. So he encouraged us to take a moment to reflect on that time and to appreciate it. But it's the same in our spiritual journeys. We grow and we learn. And even if we face the same kind of experience now as we did 10 years ago, we face it differently because we're different people. We're growing, we're learning, life is different. And so a lot of times we want to think about the past and how good it was and how this was a lot easier then, and that's true. But our purpose here isn't for things to stay the same, it's for us to be ever changing. So maybe you feel like you're not good enough. In Psalm 119, it tells us that the psalmist says, I'll praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Or maybe you feel like everyone else's life is better than yours. Like everybody has better stuff and their family is better and their jobs are better and their children are better and everything's better. And a lot of times we want to compare ourselves to others, and that can be very dangerous because we're not supposed to be like anybody else and we're not supposed to live anybody else's life, that our journey is completely unique. And I feel like we don't appreciate that in seasons. So that is how we feel. But the truth is, in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Message writer writes it like this. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves the proud owner of everything that can't be bought. That's truth. And what, maybe one more. When you think you can't make it another day, in 2 Corinthians it tells us that my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. So if we will be able to categorize our enemy as we need to, Satan is a master of deceit. And I was listening to a sermon by Priscilla Shire. She is Tony Evans' daughter. She was in the war room. If you have time, and she has some sermons on YouTube that are amazing. And I would love to see her in person one day. But she talked about the enemy, about Satan being this person that is out to harm us. She said, it's not just like he's out to get us. He is planning and scheming against us. And a lot of times we don't take that into consideration. She says that a holy indignation rises up within her when she thinks about the ways that Satan is trying to defeat her. The same way that he's trying to defeat her, he's trying to defeat you too. So he'll creep in on the things that might not have been a really big deal and make them bigger for you. He'll creep into your thoughts. He'll creep into your relationships. He'll creep in anywhere he can. If we're going to talk about Jesus being the light, what we have to know is that no matter what Satan throws at us, his darkness will never overpower the light. If you're in a dark room and you strike a match, you can't hide that. If you turn on a flashlight, I mean, unless you had some kind of crate that was completely sealed that you could put it in, you're going to see the light. You know, as children, you used to try to cover up the flashlight and stuff, and you could still see it through your hands, and you still see it under the cover. It's the same thing. This season is about light. Satan is trying to overcome that light. But we have got to be people that are of the Word enough that when Satan throws those things at us, or that we're in that dark night where there's silence from the Lord, where we don't feel like he is working or doing or being or even in our lives, we can't hold to our feelings. We have to hold to the truth. The truth is found in the Word. That's not found in my mind. Or my mind works overtime and overtime and overtime, trying to think about all the things that, well, I didn't do this and I didn't do that and I didn't do that, and I'm not even sure. I mean, some days, like for us to get out of the house in the mornings is like an Olympic feat. So if I've gotten out of the house and two kids are dressed and we have all the bags we're supposed to have, then, I mean, like, it's been a great morning, and we've only been up for an hour because it's just like that some days. And I only have two kids. I can't imagine them anymore. There are times that Satan creeps in and like, well, a better mama would have cooked a hot breakfast this morning. Well, who has time for that? So Satan creeps in to tell me stuff like that. And the thing is, I have to know that there might be a better mama that would have cooked a hot breakfast, but that's not me. And my children are mine to take care of, and they're good with that. So we might have to stop by the store and get something to eat if they want a hot breakfast. That's just the way things are, right? But in our lives, we all have our things. And what I want you to be aware of this morning, especially in this season, because this season is one that produces lots of emotions. There are those of us that will have empty seats around our tables this year. There are those of us that have had empty seats around our table for 20 years and we still miss the person that used to fill that seat. There are those of us that are looking at Christmas different and maybe we haven't had all the money we needed to buy all the extravagant stuff. Or maybe people have all these family get-togethers and we just don't really have that where we are today. Maybe you're at a place, well, your tree is missing some ornaments because they broke or you got rid of them, or some of your very favorite ones are gone. But this season, it rises up all these emotions within us. What we need to be mindful of is that emotions are not truth. And maybe you are in a grief season or in a depressive season, or maybe this time of year is just hard. Maybe you had some hard stuff happen during this time over your life, and Christmas just isn't your favorite. It's okay. The truth of the matter is that a long time ago, there was a young girl and a young boy who gave birth to our hope. Gave birth to our hope in a manger. A light that overshadowed every dark thing we would ever experience. And in that manger, we find our reason to to continue to live. Robert Mulholland wrote a book called Spiritual Formation, and he defines spiritual formation as the process of being transformed to the image of Christ for the sake of others. We are not on this journey for ourselves, and a lot of times we're facing hard times, but we don't know what somebody else is facing that's with us either. But we're on this journey together, and so in our togetherness, we need to be people of the light. We need to be people that remind each other of the truth, that we get excited about our uniquenesses. Oh, you can do that? Well, I cannot do that. So together, we're going to do great things because your strengths and my weaknesses are totally different. And it's all about part of being about the body of Christ. The Advent writer writes this: we do not need to live in despair because we know that Jesus came to earth to live among us in our darkness, that we might not have to walk alone. He is the light for our path that we can have hope. In the season of Advent, many of us walk through the darkness in one form or another. Jesus wants to be a light that we might know love and grace and peace. We also are to shine the light of Jesus to those around us that they might see the love of God through us. We have to get to the point where we will let his love shine. John came, John the Baptist, and I can't imagine how strange he was. I can't even imagine trying to have a conversation or dinner with him. It was just, I just see him as a completely exotic kind of person. I mean, I just see him very, very different. But he came, and he came bold. And he came without thinking about what other people might say about him. I don't really feel like John was a person that cared much about what other people might think. But he came with that testimony. He came bold, but he came knowing the truth. He came knowing the light. He came knowing that this isn't about me, but you, I can't wait for you to meet him. You think I am different. You think I'm going to change the world, but you have no idea what you're about to see. I want to encourage us this morning to be those people. You know, when you graduate from like high school, you think that you can conquer the world. And then, you know, you go to college, you get married, you have children, and you're thinking, well, if I can just maintain, I'm doing good. I mean, it's not about changing the world anymore, right? But it really is about changing the world. And it might not be through like going overseas to missions or going into space as an astronaut or doing anything that like your name is going to be across a TV screen for. But there's somebody in your world that needs hope today. There's somebody in your realm that needs light shown in their darkness. There's somebody that needs love that might not have ever felt true love before. Our mission is to change the world, and we can only do it if we know the light. Please stand. Dwayne's going to just play a little bit, and I don't know exactly how we're going to close. I know that we're going to close in prayer in a few moments, but I don't think that it would be fitting for us to have talked about how the Lord is the light and how we experience darkness and how this season is hard if we don't give you an opportunity to spend some time at the altar this morning. Maybe you just need a reminder that you're enough. Maybe you just need a reminder that there is light in this dark place that you're in. Maybe you just need to be reminded that what you feel and what is you know is truth are two can be two different things. We're not going to tarry long. Dwayne's going to sing. And if nobody comes, we'll go. Don't leave with unfinished business. Don't leave defeated. I mean, if you came here defeated, please don't leave that way.
Thank you for visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.